The Talk of Pramtown by Joanna Nadin. Read by Kelly Houghton. Some who read these pages at this time may feel almost as if they have wandered into fairyland, that it is too good to be true, that such things can have no relation to the present bleak and troubled times. Sir Ernest Gowers, Foreword to the Harlow New Town Plan, 1947. To think, when I was a kid, I planned to conquer the world, and if anyone saw me now, they'd say, "She's had a rough night, poor cow." Nell Dunn, Poor Cow. Connie, London, April 1970. She could have used the last of the money to get rid of it. Michelle had said her cousin knew a bloke who knew a woman in Stepney who'd do the deed if she didn't want to deal with doctors. She didn't. But she didn't want to see a woman in a back street in Stepney either, it turned out, despite all her Nell Dunn dreams. And besides, it was too late now. "You sure you don't want anyone, love?" The midwife, thick-set and florid, offers her a damp flannel. "Your mum. Everyone needs their mum." Connie, pale and sweating, shakes her head to both. "Not me. Oh, Jesus Christ!" She groans as another contraction grips her quick and vicious. "Nearly there, love." "Nearly there," she hears him grunt the words into the wet shell of her ear. "Nearly there," he tells her, as if he knows she's hoping. She sees him too. Sees the whites of his eyes tinged liverish. Sees the pores of his nose where a single hair pokes through. Sees his thing, fattened and angry and jabbing at her. Worse, she can smell him sometimes. His too close breath bitter with coffee and sickly with polo mints. His still buttoned shirt, omo white and rotary line fresh. How quickly the thrill of being wanted had faded. How had she ever thought him handsome? A catch. The rest of it is blurred, faded at the edges by time and distance and sheer determination. Did she say no? Maybe not. And if she said stop, it was weak or in her head. And she had flirted with him, hadn't she? Led him on like her mother said she always did, so it was no more than her just deserts. This was no more than her just deserts.
"Bloody fuck!"
The midwife doesn't flinch, heard it all before perhaps. But the mother in her head tuts and ticks her off. And you can bugger off as well, she thinks. And yet, 15 minutes later, as the baby crowns, threatens to stretch and snap her wide open, it's her mother she calls for, red-eyed and desperate. Months later, broke and alone, she goes home. Baby in a borrowed pushchair. All her world in two carpet bags. Back to Pramtown she slips, only to find the car gone, the curtains drawn, the front door double locked. They've actually bloody gone away. To the lakes, she presumes, same as every year. As if nothing has happened, as if she, they, don't even exist. Perhaps they don't. It's not like she's been in touch. And their names don't even match now. The Earnshaw chopped off and replaced with Holiday. Half of Constance rubbed out and tweaked for effect. She's a different person now. Not that girl, their girl, anymore. The baby gurgles. The chips of mirror in Connie's skirt twinkling in a bright slice of sunlight. She smiles.
"Well, bugger them, Sadie," she says aloud. "Or bugger her, anyway."
And she pushes the buggy down the side return, roots around.